Welcome back, and we'll resume our study here on the fallen nature of Christians, the fallen nature of mankind, and get some more background for you so that you understand a little better this particular enemy. Let's bow again in the word of thanksgiving. Thank you again, Father, for your word that you reveal these things to us. We thank you again for the Holy Spirit who is our teacher, and we trust again as we look into the word that it would be a blessing for each and every one that's listening. In Christ's name, amen. All right, so we've established the fact from Romans chapter 3, verses 10 through 18, that fallen mankind is not inherently good. We brought nothing good into our salvation. Mankind is perverted and can't do anything right in God's sight. Every human being has a twisted sin nature. Even though the Christian shares in the divine nature and thus gains a new nature, he still possesses the old perverted nature. And again, we told you that's not going to change until we are glorified. Not until Christ changes us. Now, the thing is, you say, this bothers me. I don't like to hear this. I don't want to think that I have a sin nature. Well, the Apostle John was the oldest of the apostles. He lived up into his 90s, and he wrote very late when you consider the New Testament epistles. And so look in 1 John. Look in 1 John. I want you to see something here. 1 John 1:8. 1 John 1:8. He says, verse 8, this is 1 John chapter 1. He says, if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. Now let's translate that, all right, a little more clearly. He's saying, if we say that we have no sin nature, in other words, if we don't have the potential to sin, it's not saying that. We have a sin nature. He says, if we say that we have no sin nature, that, and it's a bentness of nature. Before the fall, before Adam sinned, before Eve sinned, they had no sin nature. Everything they did, there was no, but the sin nature, our fallen nature, coming all the way from Adam, is bent. It takes good things and wants to bend them. That's the way we say it perverts good things. And mankind, fallen mankind with their fallen nature, pervert things and are incapable. They cannot do any righteousness as far as God is concerned. No man can do righteousness before God because of the fallen nature. Now that's the Christians, we have the exception today because we have divine enablement, but we still have to learn to overcome our sin nature or we'll be defeated by our sin nature continually. We'll never have victory. Again, just praying a prayer or quoting scripture is not going to give you victory. Just being saved doesn't give you a victory over your fallen nature or any of your enemies. You and I have to follow the steps revealed in scripture how to have victory. So, John is saying here, if we say we have no sin nature, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. The truth is not in us. Now, the truth here is a body of doctrine, a portion of Scripture that reveals how to have, that we have victory over our sin nature. Now, Jesus revealed the fact that this doctrine was going to be available, but it wasn't available till after his death, burial, and resurrection through the teaching of the apostles. That's when this was revealed. But during his earthly ministry, Christ mentioned this body of doctrine, and it's called the truth. And back in 1 John 1:8, he says, if we say, as a Christian, that we have no sin nature, we deceive ourselves, and the truth, and that truth is concerning our sin nature. That truth is concerning, is not in us. But what is the truth? The truth is that is a body of doctrine. If you look with me over in John chapter 8 and verse 32. John chapter 8, verse 32. And this is, there were those that did believe on Jesus during his earthly ministry. And it says, in verse 30, it says, as he spake these words, this is John 8, verse 30, as he spake these words, many believed in him. Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed in him, if you continue in my words, then are you my disciples indeed. And you shall in the future, verse 32, this is John 8, 32, you shall in the future know the truth. And the truth is that body of doctrine that tells you and I as Christians how to have victory over our sin nature. He said, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Free? Look at this, the next verse. They answered him. Now, this is not just the Pharisees. This is all the unbelieving Jews. Remember when he was out in his public ministry, there were unbelievers and believers around him all the time. He wasn't just, very few exceptions where he got away just with the disciples. Most of the time there was a group of people during his earthly ministry, and there were believers and unbelievers. Now look at the response when he talks about them being free. These are the unbelievers, verse 33. And they answered him, we be Abraham's seed, and we're never in bondage to any man. How do you say you shall be made free? Jesus answered them, verily, verily, I say unto you, whosoever not committeth sin, again, it's this concept of practices sin, is the slave of the sin nature. Is the slave of the sin nature. There you go. That's your answer. So here you see, this is that body of doctrine. It's the truth. And the truth shall in the future make these people that believed on him free. Once Christ went to the cross, was buried, and rose again from the dead, and the church started, these believers then became Christians on the day of Pentecost that believed on him during his earthly ministry. And then the disciples, the apostles, were able to teach them this body of doctrine that was revealed to them called the truth that Jesus only mentions here just in a nutshell. He doesn't explain what this truth is, but he tells them what it can do for you now that you're a Christian as you look into this dispensation. See, Jesus, there was a lot of things not revealed. Nobody knew there was anything called a Christian when Jesus said, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. There was no such thing as a Christian walking around when Christ was saying these things. That all started on the day of Pentecost. And there was more revelation, more teaching. And part of that revelation and teaching included this body of doctrine called the truth. And that's when people who believed at that time and were Christians on the day of Pentecost and following were absolutely capable then when they learned this teaching how to be free. Free from what? The power of their sin nature. The power of their sin nature. So he says, if you should say, as a Christian, you do not have a sin quality, any quality of sin, a sin nature, you're deceiving yourselves, and the truth is not in us when we do that as a Christian. And so the truth is that limited amount of New Testament revelation explains how to overcome the sin nature. And Christ hinted about that during his earthly ministry. We just read that, John 8, 32 and 34. Now, he says, if we should say that we have not sinned in the past with the present result that we can still sin, we make Christ to be a liar, and his word is not in us. In other words, we have that potential to sin. This is 1 John 1:10. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and this word is not in us. See? We have that potential to sin. Why? Because we possess a sin nature. And he's speaking. John is speaking to Christians. John is speaking to Christians. And John was including himself in this. And John had been saved for years. He was in his 90s when he wrote this. See, there are some Christians that think by the time you live to be that long as a Christian, why, you don't have any more sins. You've reached perfection. That's not true. Until the rapture takes place, until we're changed to be like Christ so that we can see him as he is, we will possess a sin nature. We possess a fallen nature. The sin nature is an inherent propensity to evil. In other words, it's a bentness of our nature. It's what we prefer to do. Given us a choice, we'll always choose what the sin nature presents to us. That's what it is. A sin nature is a propensity to evil, which exists in every human being's nature. Every human being's nature. It says there is a distinction between the root, the sin nature, and its fruit, an act of sin. So be careful. The sin nature is often referred to in Scripture as sin. And we just saw that over in 1 John 1:9. If we say that we have no sin, no, it's not talking about sin act. It's a quality of sin, sin nature. So that which has a quality of sin is referring to our sin nature and not a sin act, not its fruit. The fruit that comes from the sin nature is and can be sin. In Romans chapter 7, look in Romans chapter 7. This tells us a great deal about the sin nature. Romans chapter 7. Romans chapter 7. And how it just rules over us. But it also tells us here in verse 17, he says, the sin that dwells in me. In Romans 7:17, he says, now then, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwells in me. What's this? That's not talking about an act of sin. And who's this talking here? This is Paul talking. He's talking about this struggle he had with his own sin nature after he was saved. Then he had this struggle. He didn't have a problem with it before he was saved. It was only after he was saved that he had this struggle. And he talks about it here as a specific entity. He says, now then it is no more I that do it, but it is sin that dwelleth in me. Again, sin here is not an act of sin. It's not a sin that's inside him that's just fighting to come out. No, it's his sin nature that gives him this strong desires to do sin, to commit sin, to commit the works of that the flesh produces. And that's what he's talking about. We have to be really careful here. He says the sin nature is the controlling drive that indwells each individual and causes him to manifest its quality even against his will and desires. Now, that's true even of unsaved. Some unsaved people have strong desires they know they shouldn't do, and yet they're ruled by them. We have the same problem as Christians until we learn the truth, how to overcome our sin nature. And then just knowing it isn't enough. Just reciting it isn't enough. We have to use it and apply it. A person is driven by this impulse to do things that he does not desire and cannot control. It just dominates you. The sin nature is described as in such a way that it is linked to the fall of human race and is called the flesh, which emphasizes the source of this evil principle. It comes through a stream of flesh going back to Adam and Eve. So this fallen nature that we possess is something you inherited from your parents. So you could say, see, it's my parents' fault. No, your parents inherited from their parents, and their parents inherited from their parents, and it goes all the way back to Adam and Eve. That's why the sin nature can also be referred to as the flesh, because it's referring to this fountainhead that started with Adam. This stream of flesh, humanity, started with Adam and Eve. And Adam and Eve sinned, and when they sinned, and before that, Adam actually trespassed, when he determined. Now that's throwing you a new word at you, but a trespass is when you mentally determined to sin. Adam was told not to eat of the fruit. When did he sin? When he ate of the fruit, he sinned. That's when he fell. But before he ate of the fruit, he what? He determined to eat. And it's when he determined to eat is when he offended God. Now the offense, the determining to eat of the fruit, was not a sin. It's called a trespass in Scripture. It's not a sin. It's not a sin. But it is unrighteousness. It is an unrighteousness. It's not pleasing to God. And that term that describes it in the Greek is often translated offense. So Adam first offended God by determining to eat the fruit of the tree, that fruit that Eve offered him. When he determined, that offended God. And when he ate, then he sinned. When he determined at that moment, that's when he gained a sin nature. He bent his nature. He warped his nature. He twisted his nature so that it would want to do and enjoy and desire to do things that are contrary to what God would want. And that's what happened. That's where the sin nature came from. It came from Adam. It came from Adam when he determined to sin. When he determined, how did he sin? When he ate. He didn't sin in his mind, but he determined to eat, and that eating was a sin for him. God told him, "Obey me." And he didn't obey God. He sinned by eating in the fruit. And when he did that, he started to die physically, but God said that he died spiritually the minute he determined, the second he determined to eat of the fruit, when he offended God. So many things you desire and I desire, we don't fulfill those desires. It's after we determine to fulfill those desires that we do something. So there has to be desires, then there has to be determination. Those are all mental. And then there's the action that's seen outwardly. And it was the sin for Adam was to eat of the fruit. That was the action. But the offense, he offended God when he trespassed. He offended God when he determined to, I'm going to eat. So I desire to eat. I determine to eat. And there you go. He fell. And that's where this comes from. That's why it's referred to as a stream of flesh. If you look back, Cain, back in Genesis. Well, we can look look back in Genesis chapter 3. Genesis chapter 3, and you see that Cain, this is Cain, after he killed his brother Abel, knew that he had this fallen nature. This fallen nature, this propensity to sin. And what had he done? He committed murder. And it was senseless murder. There was no reason to kill Cain. Cain wasn't defending himself when he killed Abel. Abel wasn't trying to kill Cain. It wasn't self-defense. It was absolutely senseless slaughter. Murder, which is one of the works that come from our sin nature mentioned in Galatians chapter 5, senseless slaughter. But Cain knew that this came from his sin nature. If you look over in Genesis chapter 3 and verse 13, this is after there's judgment pronounced by God on Cain. And after he hears all this judgment, Cain says this in verse 13, "And Cain said unto the Lord, My punishment is greater than I can bear." That's what your English says. That is a poor translation. He says, "My perversity." What's he referring to? What's perverse about him? It's his fallen nature that he inherited from his father, Adam. Now you start to see this stream of flesh. It immediately manifests itself in the next sick generation. Adam manifested it by eating of the fruit. He developed a sin nature. His nature was warped and became a sin nature before he ate of the fruit. When he ate of the fruit, Adam, and sinned, he had a sin nature prior to that. Why? That was where his sin nature came from, when he determined. He passes that on to his offspring. Cain is his oldest son. See, back in verse 1 of chapter 4, did I say Genesis chapter 3? I'm sorry. It's Genesis chapter 4. Genesis chapter 4 and verse 1, it says, "And Adam knew Eve his wife, and she conceived and bare Cain." There you go. Cain's his firstborn son. Cain kills his younger brother Abel, and it was not self-defense. It was senseless slaughter. It was murder. Murder is one of the works of the flesh. Keep your finger here. Look over in Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5, murder is a work of the sin nature. It's a result of the bentness of the nature of mankind. Verse 21, he lists the works of the flesh. 19, now the works of the flesh are manifest. He lists adultery, fornication down here. Then in verse 21, he's still listing. This is Galatians chapter 5, verse 21. He's still listing works of the flesh, the fallen nature that we inherited from Adam. Envy, and there you see murders, senseless slaughter. Who committed senseless slaughter? First generation after Adam, Cain. Where did Cain get that fallen nature, that perversity that he says in verse 13 of chapter 4 of Genesis? Cain said unto the Lord, not my punishment, but my perversity, my sin nature is greater than I can bear. Why? It ruled over him. It ruled over him, and he fulfilled that strong desire coming from his fallen nature, and he senselessly slaughtered his brother. Then look in Psalm. See, the flow keeps coming down to us. Look in Psalm chapter 51. The book of Psalms chapter 51. And you'll see David recognizes that he has a fallen nature. This is after David had committed adultery with Bathsheba and then had her husband killed in battle. He says in verse 1 of Psalms 51, have mercy on me, O God, according to thy loving kindness, according to the multitude of thy tender mercies. Blot out my transgressions. What were his transgressions? Well, under the law, remember he's a Jew under law, he had lusted. He saw Bathsheba bathing on the rooftop as he looked over, and he lusted. And then he committed adultery. She was married, she was the wife of another man, and then he had her husband sent into the heat of the battle and had him killed, murder. There was no reason for her husband to go to the heat of the battle and be sure to be killed in the next battle that they were having. That was senseless slaughter. That was murder. So there are at least three transgressions for David under the law. You and I as Christians can't transgress because we're not under law. Transgression is something that was only possible under the law. Keep that in mind. But he says, and blot out my transgressions. He says, verse 2 of Psalm 51, wash me thoroughly from mine iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. Now, that's talking about the sin act. The sin act, or acts, actually. He says, for I acknowledge my transgressions. That's plural. What transgressions were they? We just listed them for you. He lusted after another man's wife, another Jew's wife, evidently was a proselyte, so he was recognized as a Jew. And so he lusted, and he committed adultery, and he committed murder. So he says, for I acknowledge my transgressions, and my sin, that's singular, is ever before me. So that sin, that singular, is referring to his sin nature. He said, it's ever before me, it's in my face. I've got a fallen nature, and I can't get away from it. See, centuries later, way down the bloodline, that flow of human flesh coming from Adam and Eve, Adam passed his fallen nature on to Cain. Cain senselessly slaughters Abel. Centuries later, Adam, who's still part of this stream of flesh coming down from Adam, commits adultery and murders an individual. All in the name of what? The sin nature, it coming down. So this is how this stream of flesh has flowed down to us. And that's why it's referred to as the flesh. It's referred to in Scripture, New Testament, as sin nature, old nature, and flesh, the flesh. And that's where this comes from, flesh. Flesh goes back to Adam and Eve. I think we better stop here, and we'll pick this up. We're going to start with Romans chapter 7, and we'll stop here for now.